Well, that sure seemed like a befitting song to sing while we're thinking about the hurricane, no matter the storms that come my way. Amen. The Lord's able to help us, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Turn with me tonight to the book of Romans, if you will. Romans chapter 13. While you're turning there, this will be a very weak attempt at what I really want to say and need to say concerning this past Sunday, but you all just overwhelmed us on Sunday with your kindness, and Pastor Appreciation Day was just totally unexpected for our interim arrangement that we have here, but I think everybody could agree that that was a wonderful meal, wasn't it? Amen. Everything was so good. Your cards, your gifts. Well, we hope we can express our gratitude better later. But for tonight, I just say thank you so much. We enjoyed it so much. Amen. So Romans chapter number 13. I'm going to start reading in verse number 11. And I'm sure that you've heard this scripture before at some point, and you will sense, I think, some of the urgency in the voice of the Apostle Paul, his voice coming through these written words, appealing to us even tonight. If you want to stand for the reading of the scriptures, Romans 13, verse number 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Amen. How about you join me in rereading that scripture out loud? If you have your Bibles open, King James Version, you can follow right along. You ready? Verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Lord, we do thank you for your presence that we feel here. And we appreciate every song that we've already sung and heard and worshiped with. But now as we come to the preaching part of this service, the word part of our Wednesday night service, we ask that you would please speak to us. Open our ears that we might hear what the Spirit would say to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say amen. Praise God. I want to draw your attention to one word that's repeated twice in this verse. And it seems at first glance to be a simple little word, maybe even a connecting word. But it is the word N-O-W, now. Amen. Look at somebody near you and just holler that word out. Now. Amen. Now. That one word is the title of my message tonight. And I would like to try to share with you a burden that's on my heart tonight. I feel a sense of urgency in my spirit on multiple levels. But I feel like we're in a time where people are very busy and they're moving very fast, but they're not moving in the right direction. They need to feel a sense of busyness and urgency, but not about the things that they give all their attention to. I feel like probably even in the church, it's possible that sometimes we forget how important it is to sense the time in which we're living and how urgent it is for us to be hearing what the Lord is saying to us. Amen. Now, he says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I'll read on a couple more verses here to follow through with the direction he's going. Verse 12 says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Do you see the direction that he's going with this as he prods the Christians in Rome of his day, and I believe is prodding us tonight here at Union Road Pentecostal Church to pay attention and realize the seriousness of the day and feel the urgency of the time, that now is the time, and how it should, when we think about this, how it should affect our regular daily living for the Lord. Amen. This word now vibrates in my soul tonight. I really am concerned about so many things that are happening in our world. I've already expressed to you tonight my worry and your worry and concern about two major hurricanes almost back to back in just a short period of time. We know that there are things that we feel, even if we can't define it, that are happening all around about us. Some of it is in the political realm, and we know that something just feels like it's off, like it's not right, like there's secrets right under the surface that we don't fully understand. But do you feel it tonight? Do you know that there are things happening in our world? I don't mean to create any kind of panic. I don't want you to take your plastic card and run to the nearest ATM and get all of your cash out. We don't want to create a run on the banks. We know what that did back in the 1920s when they had the Great Depression. But I think it is important for us to be aware of and conscious of that things in the economy, things in the economic world are not as stable as what we're being told. Amen. These are dangerous days. These are frightening times. In fact, when Brother Aaron was telling me about this friend that he has a burden for tonight, he said, this friend, his mom and dad are literally, dad is sick with fear and mom is crying nonstop. Amen. They feel something. They are facing something. They are going through something that is affecting them in a deep way. And I kind of feel a little bit of that myself tonight. Amen. I believe that the importance of spiritual goals over our educational goals is important. Amen. Educational goals are important, but our spiritual goals ought to be more important. I believe that career goals are important, but our spiritual goals are more important. And all of the things that we look forward to when we plan out our calendars and look forward to our special days with our families, I believe family is of utmost importance as far as everything in this world is concerned. I love family. I love my family. How many of you love your family tonight? I don't mean to insult you, but can I remind you that there are some things even more important than family, and that is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must put him first. We must have our spiritual goals at first. I believe, amen, that this word now here is an important word. In at least three different ways, it is important to me. And first, I want to tell you that now is a very divisive word. Now is a divisive word. That means it's a word that separates. It's a word that drives a wedge in between past and future and makes us pay attention to the present. Now. You got what I said? So now is a divisive word. It separates the past from the future and puts us into a very limited time called the present. Amen. The Apostle Paul points out here that He says, the night is far spent. That was yesterday. That was a period of time before this. The night is far spent. And the day is at hand, but this day is a specific day. I believe he's thinking of the day of the Lord, which we know is a future event. And it may be closer than what any of us could imagine. The day of the Lord is at hand, Paul said way back in that day. And I say to you tonight, the day of the Lord is at hand, but it is still, at least in the present moment, a future event. So between the past and the future is this very limited time called the present. Amen. Some say that now is the only time that we have, and I understand what they mean, but I don't necessarily believe in totally casting off the past. There's lessons to be learned about the past. We have to remember the past, and we can't totally ignore the future. And the Apostle Paul doesn't want us to ignore it. We need to remember the day is at hand. But what are the memories of the past and a dread for the future if it doesn't motivate us in the present? And so we need to link the three, the past, the present, the future. Let me just say this. I do believe that the past is important, but you can't live in the past. And, amen, clinging to the past holds us back from pursuing what God wants us to do in the present and the future. And so while the past is important, we can't live in it. We can't cling to it. And I want us to realize that there's something more than the past. And we need to be aware of the future, as I've already said. But that future that we know is going to come, especially as Christians, the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the end of all things, the day of the Lord, heaven, amen, are important doctrines for the Christian. But we can't live yet in that future. All of that is designed to motivate us in the now. Amen. So now is a very divisive word. But also, now is a decisive word. Amen. A little different pronunciation, but decisive in the sense of it requires a decision. It requires a response. It's designed to cause us to feel the urgency to make a decision now. Amen. You know, if you saw somebody out in the pond you're walking by, crying out for help, or as many literally saw in the raging rivers of North Carolina last week, people that were being swept away crying out for help, you have a very limited time to react. And if you should see a person that is drowning, amen, we can't just stand there studying the past and how things used to be, or, how it's going to be someday down the road when there are no floods and are no drowning. Come on now. The present situation, the present moment is a decisive moment. It requires a reaction. Amen. I remember hearing the story when I was preaching out in Oklahoma that in an area where we preached several times down Salisaw, Oklahoma. I didn't know this lady, but I knew lots of her family, and they tell the story about how their aunt Irene or grandma Irene back in the days when the ladies would scrub their laundry by hand and then hang it all up on the clothesline. Does anybody remember that day? All right, and so it's not as far back as what you might think. So she was in that day, and in those days, all of the children in their community walked to school. And so you've heard those stories from grandma and grandpa that I walk 2 miles to school every day, uphill both ways, So we've heard those stories. Well, this was in that day, and the ladies would get their children ready for school and send them down the path together. And in this particular community, they had to walk across a train trestle to get to the road that led them to school. But they knew the train schedule, and so they were able to plan around that. One particular day, Sister Irene's daughter, little daughter, got sick at school, and she was running a fever. And just because it was different back in those days, the nurse told the little girl to go home and said, "Now you go straight home and don't do anything else." And so she was on her way walking home. Sister Irene was standing there. She was an old-fashioned holiness Pentecostal woman, a prayerful woman. And she was out there hanging up her laundry in the middle of the day, knowing that school wouldn't be let out till 3:30 or so. But while she's hanging up her laundry, suddenly the Holy Ghost came upon her and told her to get down to the train trestle now. And I'm sure that there might have been a moment where she wrestled over that. But the urgency that welled up within her, get down to the train trestle now. And so she dropped her laundry and run down there, feeling this strong impression from the Lord. And when she got there, she saw her little daughter just starting out onto the bridge and heard the train whistle coming around the bend at the same time. And so, obviously, there was that fearful mother's instinct of and observation of what was happening. This was an urgent situation, and she starts yelling at the top of her voice, "Run, baby, run, run, honey, run, now, now, come on, come on, come on, now." This isn't a time, amen, for looking down and throwing rocks into the creek below. This isn't a time for wishing, that you could do something else. It's time to move. It's time to run. It's time to go. Amen. I feel like that's contained in this word now, this decision, this decisive response of the word that we've got to react. And backing up in the story just a little bit, amen, what if that mother, feeling that urgency of the Holy Ghost, doesn't respond, shrugs it off, and doesn't pay attention? Amen. If God says go, it's time to go. When the Holy Ghost says move, it's time to move. Amen. There's an urgency in this word that is both divisive, amen, in separating time, but decisive in the sense that it is demanding us to make a decision. Amen. Praise God. To do something now, in the moment, in the time. Now, I want to be careful here because I don't know exactly how each of you should respond to this message or apply this message. I don't intend to mislead anyone into making a rash decision or a sudden, life-changing, choice. I don't want to be so vague and general that, it sounds like a weak attempt at prophesying to you about something you need to do, and you need to do it now. All I intend to do is tell you tonight that I feel spiritually that we need to feel some sense of urgency rising up within us. Amen. Just think about the times in the Bible where urgency was important. I thought of two today. Amen. David, in that famous story where he was in his second battle with the Philistines. The first one, he prayed and said, "Should I go up?" And God said, "Go up." The second time, same battle, same enemy, amen, or same enemy, but different battle. He said, "God, should I go up?" And God said, "No, I want you to wait." And you wait until you hear the sound of the going in the mulberry trees. Amen. That's a powerful message all of its own, and you've heard it preached before. But I want you to imagine this, that David is a warrior. The enemy is all around. The cry for battle is at hand, and he's waiting. And his men are wondering, when do we go? When do we go? We go when the Lord says go. and he's going to let us know when to go. And when he does, there's going to be a sound in the mulberry trees, and we will know it. Amen. And so finally that moment comes when God passes by and causes the leaves of that tree to rustle in a way that David knew that this was the time. Amen. It doesn't matter what happened in the last battle, and it doesn't matter what will happen in the next battle, because there will be other battles. But for this one, it's time to move. And I can almost hear David holler out to his men, "It's time now. Let's go." Amen. That's what I feel like the church needs to hear. A sense of rising up, or hearing a sound of the rustling in the trees, moving of the Spirit among us, and realizing that God may be about to do something amazing for us. Are we ready to move? Are we ready to respond? Amen. What about Gideon's army? They're all surrounding the enemy. They've got their instructions. They've got their trumpets in one hand, their pitchers in the other hand, and they know to break the pitchers, blow the trumpet, and everybody's going to holler the same thing: "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." But it's important that they remember that this decision requires precision. Amen. This decision requires precision. Doing the same thing at the same time in the same way is going to have a powerful impact. Oh, if the church could just all get together. Oh, if we could all just feel the same sense of what it is that God's trying to do among us. And we could all cooperate. And when the sound of the trumpet of worship calls us to worship, that we would all get in, and we would all sing, and we would all praise, and we would all worship. Amen. When the call to prayer happens, that we would all get in and seek the Lord. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Some things, and I believe revival is one of them. Amen. A decision for revival requires precision. We have to get in unity. We have to cooperate together. We have to know, amen, when God is moving, and recognize it. And so, amen, I can almost hear Gideon when he senses the time is now. Amen. He yells out. It's not in the Bible, but it's in my imagination. He yells out, "Now!" And everybody breaks their pitchers and blows their trumpets and makes their hollering war cry. Amen. Praise God. I believe that now is a decisive word, but it is also a definitive word. A definitive word in the sense that it requires a defining here, not a word study of the word now, but let me just share this with you. Where the Apostle Paul says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Amen. He's defining some things here, but back up to verse 11, where he says that knowing the time, defining the time. You know what the time is? Do you know what this time is? Do you understand the time that we're living in? Amen. I believe that in his day, he was facing a lot of opposition. There was a lot of sinfulness in his day. Amen. In our day, we don't have to look far to understand, amen, that we're living in a very immoral and sinful time. Define the time. It is an immoral, sinful time. Define the time, knowing the time. It is a dangerous time. Terrorism, wars, rumors of wars, violence, crime out of hand, a dangerous time. Knowing the time, amen. And it is an uncertain time, with all of the things that I've already mentioned in this service that create in the hearts of men this sense of uncertainty. Amen. Define the time, and then define your response to the time. All right? Amen. Praise God. with Brother Rick and Sister Mary, my wife and I went to the hospital yesterday and met with them, and we got to go visit Sister Diane Lawson and got in there, and just after we walked into the room, her son came in, and I don't know, with this being going over the airwaves, if it matters, but I don't think he would mind me saying his name, Jamie. But we met Jamie in April, and in a conversation, Jamie said to me, "I know I need to get in church." Didn't he, Brother Rick? He said, "I know I need to get in church, and I've been thinking about it for a long time." And he said, "There's stuff going on in this world." He said, "There's stuff going," he sees it. And we try to encourage him and invite him to church, and I hope that he comes. Y'all pray for him, okay? Pray for Jamie and April in your prayers. He sees it. He knows something of the time. Do we know something of the time? But listen, if you know something of the time, you need not only define the time, but define your response to the time. I was shocked today when I was watching my favorite YouTube weatherman for a little while today, Ryan Hall, y'all, if you don't, anybody know that name? Okay, well, that Ryan Hall, y'all, that's a YouTube weatherman. He gives very definite forecast, and his team had cameras up and down the coast, and they were showing things that were happening, and in one of those cameras, him and his assistant, they got to talk, and they said, look in that camera, there are people walking down the beach right now picking up seashells, and the surge of the hurricane was approaching, and they're picking up seashells. Did they not know a hurricane was coming? Y'all got quiet. Who in the United States of America did not know that there was a hurricane, Milton, coming? If you live in Florida and you don't know a hurricane's coming, well, let's not finish that statement. You know a hurricane's coming, and you make the decision to walk along the beach and pick up seashells, something's wrong with that picture. It's time to react. It's time to move. It's time to do something. Amen. Just let me give you a couple of things here before we wrap it up, and I'm aware of the time and our limitations on Wednesday night, but I want to tell you this, that I think Paul defines some things for us concerning our reaction to the time, knowing the time. First of all, we need to define our walk. Amen. Our walk with the Lord. We need to be definite about our walk with the Lord. He says it in verse 13, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering, partying, and wantonness, and strife, and envying." Come on now. Amen. Come on now. It's time. You know the time. Amen. Why then in this time do you go for a walk on the beach and pick up seashells? Why are you hanging out, amen, down there at the bar and running to the parties and all of that? When you see, amen, what is coming towards us, when you know the time that we're running it, why are Christians sitting on padded pews, twiddling their thumbs as if nothing's happening in this world and yawning their way on into eternity? It's time to define how we're going to walk in this world. I believe Christians need to make up their mind. Amen. You're either going to live for him or you're going to live for the world. You can't do both. Jesus said you're going to love the one and hate the other, or you're going to love the other and hate the one. Make up your mind. You've got to choose. Define how you're going to walk in this world. You can't have it both ways. You can't walk in worldliness and walk in holiness. You can't walk after your own desires and still be pleasing and walking after his desires. He's telling us here, make a choice that you're going to walk in an honest way, and walk honestly, an honest heart, an open heart, and not a hypocritical heart, faking it and pretending and going through the motions, getting honest with yourself and saying, I've made up my mind. I know the times. I'm going to walk for the Lord. I'm going to walk with the Lord, and I'm not going to walk with the world. Amen. We need to define how we're going to walk. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Walk honestly as in the day. And quit this mixing with the things of the world. Define our work. Define our work. Put off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I believe that there's an implication here that walk and work are not exactly the same thing. And he's defining, you know, our walk with the Lord. So let's talk about the works for just a little bit. There's these works that are the works of the flesh, the works of darkness, that is doing the things of the darkness, which sounds similar to our walk. But what about our work? What are we doing? Amen. What are we doing in this dangerous day in which we live? It's time for us to get busy in the work of God. It's time for us to work for the Lord. It's time for us to take these hands and our feet and do something for the kingdom of God. Amen. We need to define how we're going to work and put some energy and effort into it and understand that we're running out of time. We've got this short little window here. It's time to get busy and work for the Lord. Amen. There's lots of opportunities to serve in the church. You don't have to be a preacher or a teacher. In fact, those are very limited things compared to the outreaches that our church does in the community and the churches that are involved in rescuing people that are trapped out there in the world of sin. Do a work for the Lord. Amen. Define our walk, define our work, and define our worship. Amen. Let's let our understanding of the times impact us even in our worship. Even in our worship. In other words, if we have a limited time, this now factor, right here, right now, then how can we say as Pentecostal people, well, sometime down the road, amen, I'll try better to get in. I'll try better to raise my hands. I'll try better to worship God. I don't feel much like it right now. And you don't feel like it right now? Aren't you grateful for the things that God has done? Do you know what it means to sing that song, He Set Me Free, He Set Me Free? And you can't feel the motivation of the time now, right now, to worship the Lord? I'm not saying in our Pentecostal churches that everybody has to worship the same way. It's not just about running the aisles and jumping over pews. And I've seen a lot of things in my day. Amen. And some of them are truly amazing, supernatural things that God did. Some of them, well, maybe not quite up to that degree. But still yet, I saw in people a sincere desire to put their all in the service. And I'm not against that, unless it's disruptive in some way. All I'm saying here is you don't have to be the one that jumps the highest. You don't have to be the one that runs the fastest. You don't have to dance in every service, but worship. Amen. But worship. I believe that there ought to be some sort of a decision in us and some sort of a defining process in us where we choose and we make up our mind and we define, I'm going to the house of the Lord and I'm going to worship God. And whether it's as good as Sister So-and-so, I don't know. All I know is I'm going to do my best to let Jesus know that I'm happy to be here and I'm happy to be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Knowing the time. Now. It's high time. It's high time. We can't keep putting it off. We've got to decide. We need revival. We need a move of God. We need Him more than ever before. We need to press past all of the disruptions of the world. Forget the world. Cast off the flesh. Let's get in and serve the Lord. It's time. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. If we could get some music here, we're going to pray. And I understand that we have bus workers and other things going on. And if you feel like you need to be dismissed, please do what your duties require. But I would like for us to spend a moment in praying about this and thinking about this and feeling some of this urgency. I read this quote here. It's from a speech that Dr. Martin Luther King gave back in 1967. It was in the face of the Vietnam War era. But what caught my attention in this speech is he says, "We are now faced with the fact, my friends, that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now." The fierce urgency of now. I like that phrase. The fierce urgency of now. Something's got to be done. We need to seize this moment, this time in history. Something's got to be done. There's a fierce urgency of the now. Let's rise to it, church. Let's feel the compelling of the Holy Ghost to move us forward in our walk and in our work and in our worship and in every way that can make us to be the people that God wants us to be now. Can I hear you say that word out loud again? Yeah. Amen. Come and find a place to pray, if you will, for a few minutes before you go home. Figuratively speaking, you may have a child in the middle of the train track and the train is coming. We need to get stirred. We need to put our heart and soul in this, and our mind, knowing, thinking it through, praying it through, feeling the fierce urgency of now. Yes, Lord. While there's still time.
trees.